Good Sunday morning, WLLY listeners. This is the Amen Corner program with Brother Dave Moran from right here in Wilson, North Carolina. This program is being brought to you as a seed of faith by my personal ministry, knowing that God's Word won't return to Him void. And now for today's message from the Word of God.
Have you ever been cut by something so sharp it could cut you and you didn't even feel it cutting you? All you knew was that you were bleeding later on. I've had that happen. I worked on hearing aids for some 25 years, and we used to have X-Acto knives that we sharpened. It would get a brand new X-Acto knife and sometimes a razor blade. We'd use that to cut the shell open on a in-the-ear hearing aid, not the behind-the-ear. They had screws that you could loosen the screw and take them apart, but the one that goes in your ear had to be cut with a blade. And I remember stropping those and getting them sharp like a razor, and they would be so sharp, sometimes you'd cut your finger with that, and you wouldn't even know you cut it. It was so sharp. All you know is you felt the blood running down your hand. Maybe you felt the coolness of the blood running and cooling off, and you'd know, or you'd see the stain coming up. Say, oh, I cut my finger. You know, and you didn't know it when you cut it. It was so sharp. You know, the Word of God is like that. The book of Hebrews 4 and 12, begin reading, and it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is manifest in his sight," talking about God here, "that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have so great a high priest," which is the Lord Jesus, "that is passed unto the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Here it's talking about the Word of God, which Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible, the book of John, declares that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And what I'm talking about today was not a physical cutting like I did, like I mentioned about the blades we work with, the X-Acto knives and razors that we use to cut hearing aids open, but it was the Word of God is sharper and powerful. It was back in 1977, the year that I got saved, April 7th, of 1977. I was at a church service, and I was raised in a denominational church. I was raised from a child, and we had the King James Bible, and that's what I'm talking about, the Word of God. And the book of James has a scripture in it, and I've studied from that. I studied a lot of the scriptures. And the book of James says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when that lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, praise God, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. This is verse 23. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his face, his natural face, in a glass. And he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And here's a scripture that hit me one time back then, you know, back like in April 7th, 1977, the scripture that I remembered. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. But that scripture, if any man among you seemeth to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. And that word of God, you know, you can read it, you can look through it, but it's still sharper than any two-edged sword. And I was in a service. I went to a revival meeting. There was a man preaching, and he said there's someone in the congregation that has been in church all his life but never knew the Lord. And in my religion, I thought in my own heart, I said, that can't be me. I've been saved. I went through catechism. I did everything they told me to do. I shook the preacher's hand, whatever. And all of my faith is saved. You know, everyone that believes like I do, they're saved. I've got the King James Bible, and I'm saved. And so I didn't need to go forward and give my heart to the Lord. So I sat there and listened to him preach, and he kept mentioning that there's someone. He said, the Lord showed me that there's someone out there in this listening audience that's been in church all of his life. He even put a, you know, he didn't say he or she, he said he. And he said he's never met the Lord. And I thought, well, that can't be me. It can't be me. And so he went on, and it was a Pentecostal service. And they said, well, okay, we're going to have a prayer for the sick now. We're done with our preaching. He preached good. He preached a wonderful message. But he said, we're going to come forward, and anyone that wants to have prayer for their body, if they're sick, you know, you can come forward. If you've got a need from the Lord, come up and we'll pray for you. And anyone that wants to come and help pray is welcome to come and pray. And I thought to myself, well, there's no harm in prayer. And so that's what I did. I went forward, and I found a man that was in a wheelchair, and I knelt with down next to him, and I was going to pray for him. And I started praying for him the best I could. And where I thought I had faith for him, I don't know to this day. I don't know where I thought I had it. But I was there praying, and a little lady, seemed like she was maybe 85 years old, something around that figure. She was quite elderly. She came, and she knelt with me beside this man in the wheelchair. And I thought, oh, good, this lady is going to help me pray. You know, so I thought, well, maybe together we can have faith for this man. And somehow we kept on praying, and this man was there. And almost right away, she started looking at me and talking to me. And she said to me, she says, just tell the Lord what you know you need to tell him. You know, just confess it out, honey. And I realized, man, she's talking to me. What is she talking to me for? We're praying for this man in the wheelchair. And but she said, just confess it out. Just tell him what you need to tell him. And I said, well, she is talking to me. And she got up later. She went back to her seat, I believe, and I was there praying for this man, and all of a sudden I looked inside, you know, and like I say, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, I read that scripture in Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, that's the Word of God. And that scripture came to me about the if there's a man that's among you, seems to be religious, but he can't bridle his tongue. He bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. And I said, oh my God, that's me. I'm the man. And that Word of God cut me right open. You know, it cut my stomach, as it were, you know, not physically, but spiritually. It cut me open, and I didn't even feel it. I didn't know it. But then there, in front of me and in front of God, were all the sins that I had committed that I hadn't had mercy and forgiveness for. All the sin, all the sinful things I had done were spilling out, you know. And I've never been in the military myself, but I've heard of people that are wounded by shrapnel or some sort of a thing that would cut their stomach open, swords. And in the old days, they had swords and knives and stuff. And I've heard of people that would use both hands to try to push all their inwards back in, you know, to try to put their entrails back into their stomach with both hands. You know, when I looked at that coming out of me, you know, it was all there before me, and spiritually, I mean, all my sin, all my wickedness that I had done, the weakness that I couldn't serve God, and all the things I had slipped up on, messed up on, and things I had tried to hide for years, all that came spilling out, you know, in front of me and in front of God. Like I say, like in the Word, it says that nothing is hidden from Him, and God knew it all along, and nobody else did. It seemed like everybody around me, they thought I was okay, and I thought I was okay, but it says they deceive their own heart. You know, can you deceive your own heart? I guess so, because I had done it, and I was 30 years old when I got saved. But this was all spilling out there for me to see, and I could do nothing but confess. I started confessing my sin. I forgot all about the man in the wheelchair. I don't know what happened to him, but I was praying for my own self, and I was confessing my sin. There was nobody praying with me now. I was praying by myself. I was not shouting out too much, but I was praying, and I kept praying, and I was telling the Lord all my weakness, and I said, I've got sprinkled in my church, but it wasn't able to hold me. It wasn't able to help me do right, and I went through catechism, words to that effect, but it wasn't able to keep me. And all these things, I said, I'm not able to keep your commandments. I'm not able to do right. I'm not able to do those things that are right and holy. I've not bridled my tongue like I should. I let fly, it seemed like all the time, with something that I shouldn't say, and foolishness talking, and all these things. And I confessed my sins unto the Lord, you know, as it were, because there they were, all spilled out of me. The Word of God had cut me open, and it was all spilling out, you know. And like I said, some people in fighting and military, they'll try to put it all back in. But when I saw that, I didn't want to put that back into me. I didn't want to put none of that mess back into me, praise God. You know, I wanted to be free of it, Lord. So I started confessing. I confessed my sin unto the Lord. And it was a long time, and the church was over with. And they turned me out of church. I was there with a friend. The friend drove, she had a car. She drove home. I drove home in my car. But I knew I wasn't saved yet. I knew that I needed yet to confess, because the Holy Ghost was all over me. And so I started still confessing as I drove home. It was a 20-mile trip to my home in the country where I was. And I prayed all the way home. And I was nearly done praying, and I prayed so much, and in the car I felt I could just pray like I needed to. You know, I was alone. I just prayed, and I almost ran out of wind, you know, praying. The Holy Ghost kept showing me this. What about this? Yes, I'm guilty. What about that? Yes, I'm guilty of that. What about this here? Yes, I've done that. I'm guilty of that. And I went down the whole list, you know, and I got home. I felt miserable. I felt terrible. I was still bleeding, as it were, spiritually, not physically, but spiritually. I was still bleeding, and I still hated what was coming out. I hated those things that were coming out of me. As I confessed them to the Lord, they came out and they left. You know, they were just all over the place. I guess I left a trail of blood all the way from that church in Flint, Michigan, all the way to my home in Bancroft, Michigan. And I went all the way home that way. And I went in the house, and I got in, shut the door, ran down the hallway into my bedroom, and flung myself on my bed. And I was face down on the bed, and I cried, and I prayed, and anything else I could think of, and that the Holy Ghost would tell me to confess, I confessed it. It wasn't too long after that, though, that I had run to the end of my list of things that I told the Lord I was unable to do, and I heard the Lord speak to my heart, and He said, "Do you want me to come into your heart?" And I remember saying, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." And I felt the power of God. Like I say, I was laying on my stomach in the bed, and I felt the power of God go right through my back and into my heart. And in my heart, I felt as it were bands breaking. It went boom, 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 like that. And I was just set free. I don't know what that was, but something was being unbound, you know, in my heart. My heart was loosened up. And I felt the innocence of my youth returning. I felt newness of life. I felt that I knew I was born again. And the power of God was in me and through me. And I know the Lord came into my heart that night, you know, and I was ready. And I thank God. I thank God that I was alone. You know, I've heard of people being in that shape, you know, under conviction, we call it. Being under conviction like that and praying, and they'll come home, and my mom probably would have had the best of intentions, but if she saw me in that shape, she would have said, "What's the matter, baby? What's the matter, honey? You know, let me get you something. Let me comfort you. Let me do this or that." You know, and it might have knocked me off from my prayer, but I needed to hear from the Lord that night, and I needed to hear Him say, "Do you want me? Do you want me to come into your heart?" You know, that's the greatest question that I ever had asked to me. That's the most wonderful question. Do you want me to come into your heart? And my answer was the greatest answer I could give, which was yes, yes, yes. You know, and I'm so glad that I did. You know, could have been a thousand different ways that I could have put off that question, that I could have got knocked off of being saved that night. I could have done this or that, or could have been something distracted me one way or the other, but I'm so glad that He asked, "Do you want me to come into your heart?" And I'm so glad that I was able to pray and seek God and confess all my sin unto Him, you know. And from 1977, it's about 42 years now. I'm 72 years old now. I was 30 then, you know, but it's held me, and God has blessed me. The enemy has fought me, of course, but through the Lord and through walking in the Spirit, I have overcome all those things. And that Word of God is sharp. It's like a two-edged sword. And I would ask you, you know, let that Word of God enter into you, and it'll cut you open sometimes. And if you don't like what's in there, you know, get with the Lord, get with Him, talk to him and confess those things, Lord, those things that are harmful, those things that are evil in you. You know, are you causing arguments? Are you arguing with people? Are you causing people to hate you? You know, the Bible says they hated me without a cause, and they hate the Lord without a cause. There's no cause to hate the Lord. The Lord hasn't done anything to them to make them hate him, but they still hate the Lord. But if we give them a cause, if we're ugly talking to them, if we call them names and all these things like that, you're not serving God. You're driving people away from God. They won't want your religion if you're like that. They won't want what you got. You've got to give them the love of God. You know, that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to cut asunder, you know, both soul and spirit, you know. It's wonderful. And I'm so glad that I got saved one day and God came into my heart. The Lord Jesus offered to come in. He said, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open that door of their heart, I'll come in with them and sup with them, and he with me. You know, I praise God for that. It's a wonderful blessing. To be born again is the greatest thing on earth.
Listeners, this music concludes our program for this Sunday. I hope that it was a blessing to you. This is Brother Amen Dave asking you to tune in again next week for another broadcast of the Amen Corner with me, Brother Dave. And stay tuned to WLLY 1350 AM on your dial for more fine gospel programs and to hear Gospel Time with Brother Billy Harris and the Harbor Light Church at 9:30 this morning. God bless you is our prayer. Thank you.